Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just want to lift you up today in worship. We praise you. We praise your holy name and all that you are. And we know that you're always with us. And even if you don't do what we want your will to be done in our lives. And we thank you for the gift of Jesus and the work that he did on the cross for us. And all God's people said,
all right. Good morning. And it is a good morning. Anytime you can get out of bed and put your feet on the floor and go forward, it is a good morning. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just overflowing this morning. It's been a long week, but it's been a great week. And we've enjoyed Bible study together, and we've enjoyed vacation Bible school together, been a part of a couple of memorial services this week. I've got another one to do tomorrow, but I want to tell you what I have learned through the years. God is faithful, and he is always good, and it's so important for it to be well with your soul. There's Sean and Lane. God bless you all. Glad to have y'all. Help me here. I might get a little spiritual ADD from time to time. But anyways, when I see faces, it just blesses me. So, and by the way, where is Lauren? Would you bring her out here? Lauren is a fabulous, she is our children's director, our youth director, and she has the gift. Hang on. We're going to save this for her when she comes out here. She has the gift of administration and organization and leadership. She does a fantastic job with our kids and with her. She put together the greatest Bible school team that we've had in my 6 years here. She is coming out, isn't she? She's coming, right? All right. Tell her not to wait till we say amen. Just tell her to come on. But I want her to know how much you all think of her. And God's using her for his glory. And so I'm just so, so thankful. Lauren! Come on out, sister! Where have you been? Oh, okay. Give her a great big hand, you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told them that you have the gift of administration, leadership, and organization, and you do. And more than that, though, you are filled and anointed by the Spirit of Almighty God. And your love just permeates everything. So we thank God for you. And I'm glad you got off the phone to come in here.
Yeah, well, all right. The Kona ice truck is here.
All right. Kona's here. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get started here. We've been learning about God's rock solid truths this week. And I want to tell you, like no other time in my life can I remember, it is so important for people to understand what real truth is. I mean, it's amazing. Our kids are being bombarded by all kinds of half-truths, all kinds of things that do not line up with this book. And so they had 5 Bible studies this week about God's rock-solid truth. And one of the truths that they heard afresh and anew was about God's, how it is that God, the Lord Jesus, is the only way to have a relationship with God. And so that's where we're going to go as a bunch of adults and teenagers and children this morning. Is that okay?
Yes.
Well, even if it's not okay, that's where we're going. So as a matter of fact, I think it was Pew Research Center of July of last year, they did a survey. And in this survey, the question that was asked was this: do you believe that there's a heaven? And 74%, which is down about 10 points from the last time they did a survey, 74% said, yes, we believe in heaven. But even more amazingly is what they said. They were also asked, if you believe in heaven, are you going to heaven? And they said, yes. And then they said, why, in the survey? And here's what they said: I'm a good person, and I've done enough good things. Surely God's going to let me into His heaven. And so that's what we're looking at here this morning, okay? Everybody ready? All right, well, let's all stand. We're in John 14, 1 through 6. Ava, here we go again. All right. That's not a joke, but she and I are on the same wavelength this week. John 14, I'll read 1 through 6, but we're going to focus on verse 6, okay? Let not your heart be troubled. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Whoo! If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way I go, you know. And then that old wonderful disciple named Thomas asked the question everybody wanted to ask. Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus responded, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, through me. Father, bless the reading, bless the teaching, bless the preaching of your holy, inerrant truth. Apply it to our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus was going away in the tenor and tone of this text. The disciples were troubled because Jesus was going away. And where he was going, they couldn't come, at least not for a while. And so they're troubled. And he begins to talk about this place called heaven. And he begins to talk about this this thing called a relationship with God. And then Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We want to be with you. We're glad that you want to be with us. But how can we get there? How can we know the way? And in response to that question, Jesus made the most outrageous, outlandish, politically incorrect, in-your-face, intolerant, narrow, exclusive, startling statement that anyone could ever make. And if it's true, and it is, He is the only way to be saved. He's the only way to have a relationship with God. He's the only way to get to heaven. But if it's not true, it's the greatest lie that's ever been told. But it is true. And so this morning we're going to look at the truth, God's great truth about salvation. Are you ready? Six of you are ready. Come on now, are y'all ready? This is God's truth, God's rock solid truth about salvation. And we're just going to focus there on verse 6, okay? And I want to say three things about salvation. First of all, religion will not save you. Religion will leave you dead, dry, disappointed, despondent, depressed. Religion will not save you. But all the religions in the world and all the faith groups in the world claim to get you to the same place. And they all kind of a misnomer is they're all the same. Can I tell you, they are not the same. Now, one religious group will tell you, follow me, and I'll show you the way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. There are some religious groups that will tell you, follow us, and we'll reveal truth to you. Jesus said, I'm the truth. And then there's other religious groups that will tell you, hey, follow us, and we'll show you how to have a more meaningful, fulfilling life. Jesus said, I am the life. Are y'all with me so far? And so all religions claim to get you to the same place. All religions in the world claim to get you a relationship with God and to get you to this thing that whatever they call heaven, heaven. All right? And so quickly, let me just... There are five major religions in the world today. Five major religions in the world. Now, there's a lot of other religions. There's a lot of other faith groups. There's a lot of cults. But there are basically five major religions, and all of them claim to get you to where you want to go. Now, one of those is Hinduism. Y'all heard about Hinduism? And did y'all know that Hindus believe there's over 330 gods? They see God in everything and everyone, right? And they claim, Hinduism teaches that humanity's in this cycle of birth and death and rebirth. And the only way to escape this cycle is by practicing self-denial. And through the practice of self-denial, guess how that's done? Through four different yogas. And if you'll follow that path of the Hindus, they claim it'll get you to heaven. That's Hinduism in a nutshell. And then there's Buddhism. Now, Buddha, what you may not know, used to be a Hindu until he got fed up with Hinduism and started his own religion called Buddhism. Y'all are on it. And Buddhism claims that we are all in this cycle and this sense of self-pleasure. We're seeking pleasure from money and wealth and possessions, position, power, fame, fortune, all of that. And the only way to escape that sense and that thing we call pleasure, the only way to get out of that is by following an eightfold path of salvation. You got to do these eight things, okay? And they claim that'll get you to nirvana, a mindless state of rest. Whew. It takes a lot of faith to believe some of this garbage. Islam is the third major religion. And y'all, Islam is a monotheistic religion, okay? They believe in one God and his name is Allah. And then they believe in one prophet whose name is, not Jesus, Muhammad. Okay, we're talking about Islam now. And they believe that in the Holy Quran, you've got to believe what's in the Holy Quran, and you've got to practice a fivefold path of salvation. Five things you've got to do. And if you'll do that, guess where you'll wind up? Well, they're not even, you ask a good Muslim, do you believe the Quran? Yes. Do you believe in the fivefold path of salvation of Islam? Yes. Do you believe you're going to heaven? Only Allah knows. Do you believe that God loves you? Only Allah knows. Islam. And then the fourth great religion in our world is Judaism. Now, the Jewish faith is monotheistic as well. They believe in one God. And they believe in the God of the Old Testament. And you've got to follow, and they believe in keeping the law of the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You've got to follow all those commandments, and you've got to follow all the rituals and rules of the Jewish faith. They believe Islam's got it all wrong. They've got the wrong God, the wrong law, and the wrong book. And so Islam follows a fivefold path. Are you noticing a pattern with all the other religions? It's all about what you got to do. It's good works. Okay? But along comes Christianity. And Christianity is in a class all by itself. Because we believe it's not what I can do for God, it's what God has done for me. All right? That's the difference. It's not what I do, it's what God has done. You know how you spell Christianity? D-O-N-E. Do y'all know how you spell Christianity? D-O-N-E. This is why Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the life. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This is why he said that. And so here's the deal with Christianity. Jesus died and lived a perfect, before he died, he lived a perfect sinless life. He never broke God's commandments, lived up to God's standards. And so he died so that we could be forgiven of our sin. And then they buried him. Then guess what? 3 days later, I had a little girl in Bible school ask me, how do you know that Jesus is alive? I said, don't you know if somebody could or would, they would have dug up Jesus' bones a long time ago. Amen. Well, they didn't find his bones because he's not dead. He rose from the grave. Why? So that Jesus could make that outlandish statement, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So religion won't save you. And then secondly, I want to say righteousness won't save you. Now, I'm talking about a lot of folks think that you've got to... I've talked to somebody. I run into this all the time. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I've been a good person. I try to do good things. Now, I make mistakes, but overall, I've done more good things than bad things, and surely a good God's going to let me into his heaven. That all sounds good. The only problem with that is we need his righteousness, not our righteousness. And we believe in this system of good works. And some of you are here and you're so frustrated because you're trying to live a good life and you're trying to clean your life up and you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that, when the Christian life is not only has to be believed, it's got to be received. It's a gift. I love Dr. James Merritt. Some of you all listen to him. And he says that what a lot of folks in the church do today is they treat salvation like it's a Home Depot deal. He said, now, if y'all shop at Home Depot, I'm not putting you down, okay? But folks who shop at Home Depot are what we call do-it-yourselfers. They'd rather do it yourself. And so they go to Home Depot and they talk to the salesman and then they get the supplies that they needed and they come home and they hang the sheetrock themselves because they don't want to pay some expert to do it. They're do-it-yourselfers. The stove breaks up or breaks down and they go to Home Depot and they talk to the salesman, what have I got to do? And then they tell him what to do and he comes home and he hooks up the new stove on his own. I mean, Home Depot shoppers believe, I can do this. I can fix this. I can rebuild this. I can take care of this myself. And a lot of folks treat salvation exactly the same way. I can clean my life up. I can fix my life. I can repair my life. I can do good things. I'm a good person. The only problem with that, brothers and sisters, if that was all true, why did Jesus have to come and die? Y'all with me now? What we need is his righteousness. And his righteousness comes through repentance and faith. His righteousness. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that does good. You see, God's not looking at our standards of goodness. He's looking at His standards of goodness. And there's only one who has the right goodness and righteousness, and His name is Jesus. And so righteousness. Let me just say this. I want everybody to lean in. I want everybody, track with me now, right now. Listen to what I'm about to say. If you don't hear anything else, hear this today. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you do. Now that right there will preach. Even if you can't preach, that will preach. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you've done. It's a gift that has to be received. And so, religion won't save you. Righteousness won't save you. But I'll tell you what will save you is a relationship with Jesus. A relationship. That's what I was talking to the kids out on the deck about Friday night. This is how and why Jesus was able to say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man, no one, nobody, nada, no one comes to God except through me. Not by Billy Graham, not by your Holy Ghost parents, not by Mother Mary. I'm really going to tick somebody off now. Not by Mother Teresa, not by the Pope, not by anyone but by Jesus. You've got to come to God His way. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said that. And so it's crystal clear, isn't it? It is for me. Well, how do you come to Jesus? How do you get to God through Jesus? Well, there's a big Bible word for that. It's called repentance. And really what we're talking about there is making a spiritual U-turn. How many of y'all have ever made a U-turn? Oh, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But a U-turn is when you turn from one way and go another way. And that's what repentance is, spiritually speaking. It's a change of the mind, a change of the will. And you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus as your only means of salvation. And you receive His finished work on the cross. By grace through faith have you been saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. That's what a spiritual U-turn is. You turn from your sin and you turn to Christ and you ask Him, Lord, I believe. I'm yours. You're mine. Come into my heart and life and change me. Make me what you created me to be. I'm yours. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your forgiveness. And then once you're saved, guess what you want to do? Good works. You want to do good things for God's glory. And if you don't ever want to do anything good and you claim to be saved, you need to go back. You need to back up and punt because you're probably not saved. Because if you're saved, you want to follow Jesus. And when you follow Him, He asks you to do some things. We don't preach enough good news on that issue. And so here's the deal. Have you repented of your sin? And have you placed your trust and faith in Christ and Christ alone? By faith. We had 5 little children out here pray to receive Christ Friday night. Hallelujah. A couple of those kids go to other churches and we're going to follow up with their pastor. And one or two of them were kind of confused about things. And then there was another little girl that, she's the one that asked me, how do you know Jesus is alive? And I said, they can't find His bones. And I said, do you see Jesus in me? And she said, and it's not because I'm somebody special, because if he'll take me, he'll take anybody in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. Leo Winters was a famous surgeon in Chicago. And he was probably Chicago's greatest surgeon. And he got a call one night from the hospital about 2 a.m. And some young kid had been in a terrible car accident. And she said, Dr. Winters, we sure need you to come to the hospital. I know it's 2 a.m, but we believe you're the only one that can save him. You're a great surgeon. He needs your skilled hands to operate on him, but he's going down fast. Can you get here pretty quickly? He said, I'll do my very best. And so he got dressed, got in his car, and he decided to take a shortcut through town and on his way to the hospital. And he pulls up at this red light in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden this guy comes running at him at the car on the driver's side, and he's got this old dirty flannel shirt on. He's got a gray hat on, and he bangs on the door, and then he opens Dr. Winters' door. And Dr. Winters, he said, get out of the car. Dr. Winters, he didn't call him by name. He didn't know who he was. He said, get out of the car. He said, I've got to get somewhere quick. I've got to get somewhere fast. And Dr. Winters tried to explain to him that he was in an emergency situation, but he wouldn't listen. And so he drug Dr. Winters out of the car and jumped in the car and sped off. Dr. Winters got to the hospital about 45 minutes later, and the little boy had died 25 minutes earlier. And he said, is any of the family here? He said, yes, his dad's downstairs in the chapel. And Dr. Winters went downstairs in the chapel, and he laid his hand on the man's shoulder. And he said, I'm so sorry. I did my best to get here earlier, but something happened and I had to walk to get here. And the man turned around, and he was the one who had been wearing that flannel, dirty shirt and that gray hat. That man had turned away the very one who could save him. And that's right where somebody is here this morning. Do not turn away from him. He is the only one that can save you. Jesus is the only one that can get you to heaven. Jesus is the only one that can forgive you of your sin. Jesus is the only one that can give you life and purpose and meaning. He's the only one that can give you a relationship with God. And some of you have your name on the church roll here, and yet you've been trusting in your good works instead of Jesus. Can I tell you, today's the day of salvation. Don't worry about what somebody else might think. You know what? People are always going to say and think what they think and say. Just worry about what he's saying. And today, right now, today, some of you know you're lost. And you've heard the gospel. And it's easy as A, B, C. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and he's the only way of salvation. And if you'll confess that to Christ, you can be saved today. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I want to thank you that years ago you saved me. I was a 9-year-old boy, and I remember it like it was yesterday, Father. Thank you for your sweet salvation. Thank you for the relationship, walking and talking with you, and following you, listening to you, learning from you. And God, I just want everybody in here to have what I've got. I'm nobody special. Jesus is the one that's special. So I pray right now for those that need Jesus, for those that are trusting in their good works, for those that know that they're lost. Oh God, I pray right now for people all over this room to cry out to Jesus Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it." Oh, God, help us today. Don't let anybody leave Second Mile Church lost in their sin. Please help us, God. Give us the courage to say yes to Jesus. And right where you sit, right where you're sitting, if you'll just pray, "God, I know my sins have separated me from you. And I believe Jesus died for all my sin. I believe he paid the price for me. And right now, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want to turn from my life of sin, and I receive the gift of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. I know you're alive today. Come into my heart and life and change me. Thank you for saving me here in this place today. In Jesus' name I pray, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and really meant business with God, it's the only time you need to do that. You don't need to do this again and again and again. But if you prayed that way, let me tell you something. God is right there. His Spirit now lives in your spirit. You belong to Him. And the Bible says that He loves us with all of His heart. If you prayed that way, you know He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Do you love Him? Do you know He's not ashamed of you? Are you ashamed of Him? No, you're not. Of course you're not. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment, when we sing, to just come to this altar up here where I am. And we will pray with you and pray for you and get you some material in your hands, and you can get started right in your new life, your brand new life with Christ. And we'll show you the way to go. Father, thank you for all that you've done here this morning and all that you've done here this week. And God, it's not just the children who need to be saved, it's the adults that need to be saved also. Oh, God, I pray it in Jesus' name. Give folks the courage to come forward and take their stand for Jesus. Follow you all the rest of their days. That begins with baptism. And finding a good church home. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand reverently and quietly. We're going to sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.